A reading from the Epistle of Blessed John the Apostle. Beloved, whatever is begotten by God conquers the world, and the conquest that has conquered the world is this faith of ours. Who is the conqueror of the world? None other than he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the one who came through blood and water, and not in water alone, but in water and in blood. And it is the Spirit that testifies to this, because the Spirit is truth. Thus there are three who testify to this: the Spirit and water and blood. And these three are of one accord. If we accept human testimony, the testimony of God is far better. For God's testimony consists in what he himself has testified about his Son. Whoever believes in the Son of God possesses that testimony in his own heart. Alleluia, alleluia. On the day of my resurrection, says the Lord, I will go before you into Galilee, alleluia. After 8 days, the doors being closed, Jesus stood in the midst of his disciples and said, Peace be to you, alleluia. The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. At that time, on the evening of that first day of the week, even though for fear of the Jews, the disciples had locked the doors to the place where they were, Jesus came and stood in front of them. Peace be with you, he said. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and side. At the sight of the Lord, the disciples rejoiced. Peace be with you, he said to them again. As the Father has sent me, so do I send you. After these words, he breathed on them, saying, Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive men's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you hold them, they are held fast. It happened that one of the 12, Thomas, this name means twin, was absent when Jesus came. So the other disciples kept telling him, We have seen the Lord. But he answered them, I'll never believe without first examining the marks of the nails on his hands and putting my finger right into the mark of the nails and my hand into his side. Now, a week later, his disciples were once more in the room. This time Thomas was with them. Even though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood in front of them. Peace be with you, he said. Then he told Thomas, Take your finger and examine my hands. Take your hand and put it in my side. And don't persist in your disbelief. Become a believer. Thomas answered with the words, My Lord and my God. Jesus told him, You have believed because you have seen me. Happy those who have not seen but have believed. Of course, Jesus also performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, signs not written down in this book, but these have been written down so that you may have faith that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through this faith you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord. Good morning, everyone. If we could begin with our prayer for vocations. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us ask God to give worthy priests, brothers, and sisters to his holy church. O God, we earnestly beseech thee to bless this diocese with many priests, brothers, and sisters who will love thee with their whole strength and gladly spend their entire lives to serve thy church and to make thee known and loved. Bless our families, bless our children. Choose from our home those who are needed for thy work. Mary, Queen of the Clergy, pray for us. Pray for the priests and religious. Obtain for us many more. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Once again, good morning, everyone. This particular Sunday goes by many names. Quasimodo Sunday. Quasimodo actually points to the fact that we are all infants, that we are growing in God's good graces. And also called Low Sunday, mostly because Easter was so big, and now we're kind of settling in a little bit more. But also thanks to Pope John Paul II, that we were able to be exposed even more to the beautiful devotion of Divine Mercy. And it would be this particular Sunday that Pope John Paul II would declare as Divine Mercy Sunday. We embraced the great message of Divine Mercy here in our parish, I believe, in a very big way. We actually began at first a men's apostolate, Knights of Divine Mercy, and then later now, Ladies of Divine Mercy. We had our last men's evening this past Friday night. We have one more with the ladies, and this is, I think it's like April 27th or something like that, where our own Joan Carey will talk about Catholic motherhood. So if you can make that, it'd be great. I do want to speak a little bit about this past Friday night with Matt Walsh. I'll get to his talk in a second, but I first want to talk about you all. I felt it was one of those amazing moments where you felt even more of a connection. You know, the sense that we are family. Sure, we have our domestic churches, okay, but this is our local church, and we're a family. And as I watched all the busy little beavers, you know, everybody working hard behind the scenes and leading up to that day, and I watched as people took care of things that night. And then to see Matt Walsh himself come up here and look around at this beautiful church and look out at the beautiful people and call our church here at St. Mary of Pine Bluffs an exception. And he said a very rare exception. And I agree with that. I agree with that. You know, we are trying our best here at St. Mary of Pine Bluff to help us all to open our hearts to receive the full measure of God's divine life. The term this weekend, especially His mercy. His mercy. A beautiful word, mercy itself, comes from misericordia. You know, in the Latin, a heart of misery, right? Or a heart that shares the misery of another, has compassion, okay? To have passion with another person. You know, that when another person is hurting or in trouble or in need in any way, that other heart, so connected, begins to feel that same pain, okay, has the passion or the misery with them. And that's what it means to be wholly connected. And when Matt Walsh was giving his talk, you know, he talked basically about that. You know, he pointed to the Christians in the East who were asked to deny their faith or have a bullet put in their head. And they wouldn't do it, so connected to their God, their faith. They would not deny that. Even to save their very lives, they would not deny that. I mean, it's amazing when you think of it, especially here in the United States, where, you know, if it affects our reputation that we be seen as too fanatical or too religious, that we take this faith too seriously, that we quickly revert. We quickly say, no, you know, I'm not one of those radicals or the extremists or fanaticals. I don't take it too seriously. Look, I've compromised here, here, and here with the world. It's easy for us to deny our Lord in this country of ours. The title of his talk was actually called Satan's Tactic for Christian America: Don't Awaken Their Courage. The courage of those Christians in the East who says, I can't deny my faith. Boom. They're gone. But it'd be toward the end of Matt's talk where, you know, he really brought it home. He said, one day, and he described what it would be like to stand before the throne of judgment, God in his awesomeness. One day we'll be asked, what do you want? What do you want? You know, if for all our life we want everything else and everybody else but God, God will say, so be it. But if we're there before the throne of God, we're able to say, you are my everything. You're my yearning. You're all that I want. Then he will say, so be it. Come home. You know, we talk about divine mercy. That's what this is all about. Is God our everything? Or do we find this reason and that reason? Why not? I was heartened this Friday night. So many of our, I saw virtually all of you at the gathering Friday night. It was a monumental moment for our parish family. Not just pitching in, but just being here. Not letting worldly wants and desires take precedent to this amazing moment for our parish family here. I was so proud to be your pastor, to be your father, Father Rick. You know, I came across a story that really describes the mercy of God. Maria was a poor widow who lived in a Brazilian village with her 15-year-old daughter, Christina. For years, they survived on a very humble income. Now her beautiful, joyful daughter, Christina, wanted to find a job. She dreamed about an exciting life in the big city, even though her mother tried to convince her that a poor, uneducated young girl will only find trouble there. One morning, Maria went to Christina's room and found it empty. Maria knew immediately where her daughter had gone, and Maria set out to find her. On her way to the bus stop, she stopped at a photograph booth at the drugstore and spent all she could on pictures of herself. With her purse full of small black and white photos, she boarded the next bus to Rio de Janeiro. Maria knew Christina had no way of earning money, but was too stubborn to give up. When pride meets hunger, a human will do things that were before unthinkable. Maria began to search through bars, hotels, nightclubs, and other places with a reputation for streetwalkers. At each place, she left her picture, taped to a hotel bulletin board, fastened to the corner phone booth. And on the back of each photo, she wrote a note. Soon, Maria's money and photos ran out, and she took the bus back to the small village. A month later, young Christina descended the staircase at a cheap hotel. Her face was tired. Her former joyful eyes now spoke of pain and fear. Her dream had become a nightmare. She felt hopeless, trapped, and ashamed, and wanted to go home. Yet the little girl was, in many ways, too far away. As she looked, as she reached the bottom of the staircase, her eyes noticed a familiar face. As she looked again, and taped to the lobby mirror was a small picture of her mom. Christina's eyes burned, and her throat tightened as she walked across the room and removed the small photo. Written on the back was a compelling invitation. Whatever you have done, whatever you have become, it doesn't matter. please come home. She did. Oh, that every Sunday was Divine Mercy Sunday to remind us God's beckoning, God's call, God's every desire, that we place Him first again in our lives and come home.